Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served for more than 20 years as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University. Today we present another in our continuing studies from the book of Genesis.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 6. That's Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to read for our study today, verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same were mighty men which were of old, men of renown. I want to direct our attention to a study today in this passage of Scripture of the phrase that concludes verse 4, men of renown. It's an interesting thing that the Hebrew text says men of the name. The word translated men, of course, is the plural form in the construct of the word Enosh, which we have recorded for us back in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, where we read, And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. This word means mortal, and it speaks of man in his weakness, in his mortality, man who has the curse of death upon him. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And you remember when we studied this passage, I called your attention to another possible translation, which perhaps is the better of the two. Then began men to call themselves by the name of the Lord. And this indicates that the line of Seth through Enosh, this word that means mortal man, began to be a line of Jehovah worshipers. Men of the name. Now will you look with me, please, back at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4, and we'll reread the passage. There were giants, or Nephilim, in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same, referring to the giants, were mighty men which were of old, men of the name. Now I want you to notice in the first place then that the men of the name were giants. There are only two places in the scripture where this word translated giants occurs. One is here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4, and the other place is in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33, where we read of the report of 10 of the spies who went into the land of Canaan. And there we saw the giants, the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, which were come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Of course, it's quite evident in Numbers 13:33 that this word Nephilim, if it means giants, then it indicates that they were physical giants, men of great physical stature and physical prowess. But it's difficult to know exactly what this word means. However, back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says there were giants in the earth, and these giants were mighty men, that these giants were men of antiquity, that is, which were of old, that these giants were men of the name, it indicates not their physical stature, but their spiritual stature. So, If you'll look at this passage carefully, you'll discover in the first place that these spiritual giants existed before the breakdown of the line of Seth and the line of Cain by intermarriage. They were not the product of angels, as some have supposed, who have entered into an adulterous relationship with women. You see, the interpretation that says the sons of God were angels and they engaged in a union with strange flesh, that is, with women, and it produced the giants. But notice here in Genesis 6:4, the giants were in the earth in those days. When were they in the earth? They were already there. When? When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. So they were already there. Consequently, they were not a monstrous posterity of a strange union. There's something else in this passage that tells us about these giants. That is, they survived the flood that destroyed all life on earth. For let's read verse 4 again. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. That is, after those days. Now, the only persons that existed then after the days that immediately preceded the flood were whom? Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And then two of all the animals and the fowls, and seven pairs of all the clean animals, went into the ark and were saved or delivered from the flood. So this rules out that there were great physical giants, a monstrous race of men who were the offspring of angels and women that had to be destroyed by the flood. No, they were there when Seth's line became corrupted with the line of Cain, and they were there after God destroyed the earth with a flood. And in Numbers 13:33, the sons of Anak, of course, were physical giants. There's a second thing regarding these men of the name I'd like to call to your attention, and that is that they were mighty heroes. Let's look at this verse again. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same were mighty men. The word translated mighty men is the word that means mighty heroes. This indicates that if this interpretation is correct, that these giants were men of renown, or men of the name rather, who worshiped Jehovah, then these heroes were those who had, by their testimony in a godless civilization, done exploits for the Lord. Of course, we have reference to one of those mighty heroes back in verse 21 of chapter 5, Enoch, who walked with God in the midst of a perverse generation, and he did so for 300 years. And Enoch, having walked with God, was not that he was not found on the earth, and God took him to be with him, delivered him, evidently, from those who sought his destruction because of his heroics for the Lord in a generation of those who had rebelled against Almighty God. So they were mighty heroes, heroes of the faith, if you please. Noah was another one of these. Perhaps all the names that are recorded in chapter 5 constituted this line of mighty heroes who, by their testimony to Jehovah, did exploits for God. Another thing we discover about these men of the name is that they were men of antiquity. Let me read the latter part of verse 4 again. The same were mighty men which were of old. The word translated of old really means from antiquity, a long line of these men. And I believe this refers us back to Genesis 4:26, where we read, "And to Seth, and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh." This means mortal. Then, when Enosh was born, then at that time, men began to call themselves by the name of the Lord. And these mighty men, these heroes, these men of the name, then were men of antiquity. And it seems to me that this connects verse 4 of chapter 6 with verse 26 of chapter 4. So, they were Jehovah worshippers. Now, the word translated renown, Hashem, is nowhere else in the Old Testament translated by the word renown. It occurs quite a number of times. But in no other case in the Old Testament scriptures does it have this translation. If it means renown, it would have omitted the first radical of this word, which is the definite article, translated the, and would have just simply had shame, which means men of a name, men who had made a name for themselves, men who had become renowned among the men of the earth. But since it has the expression the name, which nowhere else is translated renown, it seems that we should translate this men of the name. Another interesting thing about this word, everywhere the expression Hashem, the name, occurs in the Old Testament in its absolute sense, it without exception refers to the name of God, and therefore it refers to Jehovah. So, saying that these were men of the name is tantamount to saying that these were men of Jehovah, men of God, men who worshipped and served Jehovah, men who identified themselves with Jehovah. And consequently, it seems to me that this expression refers to those named in Genesis chapter 5, beginning with Adam, Seth, Enosh, Cainan, Mahaliel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And in specifically, it refers to Noah and his sons who were living at the time of this corruption and violence upon the earth, and also who survived the flood. My dear friends, it's a wonderful thing for a person to gain renown, especially if he does exploits for a righteous cause. But oh, how much more wonderful it is to be identified as a man of God, a man of the name, a person who is characterized by worshiping Jehovah and serving Him in a spiritual cause. You may become a man of the name if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and become a worshiper of God, having been saved by the precious blood of Christ. Won't you trust Him today?
You've been listening to another lesson by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University. These studies were recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.